guy joining the show right now. You've been watching him on years on ESPN. He's also a writer for ESPN.com. You can catch him on Baseball Tonight, Monday Night Baseball. And if you're into reading, he's got three books, the latest of which, I'm Fascinated by Sacrifice Flies, the one and only Tim Kirchen. Tim, thanks for giving us a few minutes. How you doing?
Good. Everything's good.
Well, I would imagine this period right now for you is normally you're traveling, you're doing the spring training thing, but instead we're in the center of the off season. It's chaos. Obviously, I'm referring to Bryce Harper. What is going on?
Boy, I wish I knew. I think we're at day 117 today, and I'm not sure how much more we actually know than day one of this journey. It's really a maddening process. But I think we had all better get used to this is how free agency now works. Young, brilliant GMs are not going to jump at the first thing they see. Players and agents are showing amazing patience, sitting back for the right offer to come along. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But this has been confounding, to say the least, that a player of this magnitude can get to, you know, this date in February and still not be signed.
Yeah, it really feels like this is the new normal, right? This gigantic game of chicken.
Yeah, and we knew last year that the free agent process had changed, but we figured, at least I did, that it had changed for the 32-year-old outfielder with declining skills who wasn't going to get a 4- or 5-year deal anymore. We did not anticipate this happening to Machado and Harper in the prime of their career. Now, Machado got paid, so let's not lose sight of that. And Harper's going to probably get paid more than Machado. But still, it's just amazing to me that it has taken this long, and just another sign that there's been a market correction in baseball, and we better all get used to it.
Talking to Tim Kirchen from ESPN. Tim, how much of what's going on right now, this deep into our second consecutive spring of seeing this stagnant free agent market into late February, is about what's going on now versus about what's going to be coming in the next labor negotiations? Are we trying to kind of set the scene here for what's coming next time around?
Yeah, next time around, I believe there will be massive changes in the free agent process, because the players are clearly frustrated, and even though some guys have really gotten paid lately, I think we all need to keep our eyes on, you know, what Nolan Arenado did today, what Miles Michaelis did, and what Whit Merrifield did recently with the Royals. These players are now recognizing that free agency isn't what we thought it was going to be, and now instead of being some sort of reward, it certainly is not that anymore. And maybe we're going to see more and more players get offered to stay with their teams and take the offer rather than go to free agency, knowing they may get shut out in free agency. There's no telling what could happen, but we all have to keep paying attention, because the old system, I just don't think it's coming back.
So if you're Scott Boras, if you're Casey Closer, any of the guys who are trying to get the best deal for their client on the free agent market, and you have a guy like Boras who famously has not wanted to do these sorts of deals prior to a guy hitting the open market, how does this change the calculus for a guy like Boras when you don't have a Harper out there, when it is the next tier or even the tier below that of guys?
Well, he has to listen to his players, and I think he does that a little bit more than some people would suggest. Steven Strasburg, for instance, a couple years ago, basically told Scott, I just don't want to be a free agent. I want to stay here. But let's get something done before I get to free agency, because I will not enjoy that. And I know with the way things are changing, more and more agents are going to have to change along with this, because until there's a new collective bargaining agreement, these young, brilliant, remorseless general managers have their value system in place that they have put together using things among sabermetrics, and they're just not varying from their value system. And if you don't fit in that box, they're not going to give you the money that you're probably looking for.
Now, we're with Tim Kirchen, ESPN. Tim, you brought up Nolan Arenado. Obviously, news comes down today, 8 years and upwards, in excess of $250 million. How much does this deal affect the potential Bryce Harper deal?
Well, I think it's got to affect it. I mean, Bryce Harper not only wants to be the highest paid in annual value per season, And now Arenado is among position players. Bryce also wants to be the highest paid, you know, to top the, you know, Giancarlo Stanton contract.
Right.
So I think we have to pay attention to both of those. It's possible Arenado will be the highest paid position player in baseball history, and it'll last for 4 days, for all we know. And it's possible Machado's $300 million will be passed. So I think almost everything now of this magnitude is connected to Bryce Harper, since he and his agent are going for history, and we'll see if they can make it.
Tim, when you talk to talent evaluators around the game, what is the feel on Bryce Harper? And I don't mean to make this a sophomoric question where we say, is Bryce Harper a good player? But we know there's that 10 WAR season hanging out there as an outlier and as the top level of what we know Bryce Harper is capable of. But yet the other seasons, whether by injury or performance, have not matched that. Is the feel that that one MVP-level season is a ceiling for Bryce Harper, or do they think that that's something that can be repeated throughout the course of a long-term deal?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to have another 10 WAR season, that he's going to win another MVP, and he's going to be a great player for the next 10 years. I truly believe that, and I think most talent evaluators believe that. However, he has no doubt slipped from where I thought he would be at this stage. I thought he would have multiple MVPs already. I thought he would have even more homers and more RBIs and be even more of a factor, but he's been hurt a bunch, and he got himself, I wouldn't say in trouble on the field, but playing a little too hard, playing a little out of control hurt him. But I think there was a time not long ago, I think it was Mike Trout and Bryce Harper were the two best players in baseball. Now I think you have Bryce Harper in the top 10, and I'm not sure you can say a whole lot more than that. That's quite a drop, but to be in the top 10 players of all in the game today is still pretty darn good.
Tim, I'm curious, this whole Harper situation, as we mentioned, we're, you know, spring training has started. This is an absurd wait time for fans, for everybody involved, for team, for potential teammates that are going to be a Harper, everybody, right? I just want to get your thoughts. Is this more about the money for Bryce Harper, or is this more just not wanting to go to Philly?
Well, I think the latter has something to do with it,
yeah.
And I think if he had his choice, he would probably go to L.A. first, just because that market maybe fits his personality, West Coast, all of that. I know he enjoyed his time in Washington, so it's possible as far as preferred destinations go, Philadelphia is third, and yet that's a little ballpark. He's going to hit a ton of home runs. It's a pretty good young team. He could be the focal point, despite being under enormous pressure, but I'm just not going to buy he's not going to Philly because he hates Philly. If the Phillies offer the most money and a great contract, he will go there. And I still think at this moment, we're all guessing, I still think that's the most logical choice for him, because at this point, I think they're offering the most money, I think.
All right, so Tim, gut feeling right now. I know you have your sources. I know you're on top of this in a lot of different ways, obviously much more so than the majority of people we're going to have on this show. So I just want to ask you right now, gut feeling, if you had to pick, where is Bryce Harper going to sign?
Note my hesitation here, because the answer is I don't know. But I think gut feeling is Philadelphia.
Okay.
Just because they're so intent on getting 10 years. They're so intent on breaking Giancarlo Stanton's record. They're so intent on getting more than, say, Manny Machado got. And it just seems to me that if the Dodgers are only going for 5 and the Nationals do not appear to be in it like we thought they would be, and I just don't see the Giants making that move, I think the team that's going to offer the most money and maybe the team with the biggest need is the Phillies, and that's where I'll go for today, but I don't say that with great confidence.
No, and you certainly can reserve the right to change that as the winds shift here over the next few days.
Yeah, we won't hold it against you.
Tim Kirchin from ESPN. Tim, we saw the Machado deal hit $300 million in San Diego. You mentioned the Stanton contract at $320-plus in Miami. We look at these being not the traditional big money markets as the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Cubs, the teams that we look at normally in that vein. What do you think that says about where the state of the game is and the health of the game is right now? Do you think that the so-called small markets are in a position to be able to do this more often, or do you think that these are outlier sorts of situations?
Well, I still think they're kind of outliers, but I think there's another way to look at this is that these big market teams just realize buy whatever we want, but if we're going to have sustained winning, we're going to have to do it with our own farm system. And that's where the Yankees have said, you know, we're going to build from within here. And even though they've spent an enormous amount of money, they are in a better position to win going forward because of their young homegrown talent and hanging on to their people. Red Sox are the same way. Now, they're all going to have to pay eventually. Mookie Betts is going to have to get paid. Aaron Judge is going to have to get paid. And then, you know, the big markets are going to be, you know, paying up the huge money. But I think it shows little market teams can make big splashes. But this thought that the only way to get there is to go through free agency, I think some of our better teams, Houston, Chicago, Boston, New York, have proven there are two ways to do this, and one is developing from within.